I'm having problems finding Zoom controls, and I'm Jazz Sequence on the internet. I'm joined on this show. This is a show, a podcast, a thing where people talk and you listen, I guess, by my pals, Gary, who's a professional hayride operator, and slowly rotating in a semicircle. And Allison, who is a amateur coffee drinker, working towards semi-professional, and also a professional wrestler. And she is Allison Plus on the internet. That is Binary Gary on the internet. We are Binary Jazz, a show where we don't know what we're talking about pretty much ever.
I've trained for this my whole life.
Except last week when Gary knew the thing because of Phineas and Ferb.
What a jerk.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes knowing the things, though, it's a buoy, right? Like, because otherwise you'd get too downcast about it. And then you get a victory and then you're like, yeah, we know things.
Yeah, well, I mean, that episode, we kind of went through half the show without even introducing the topic. So it was a fitting episode to...
That did work out well, didn't it? We got lucky.
Luck didn't have anything to do with it. That's knowledge. Counts. Stand
keep,
by.
Keep stroking our egos, Allison.
Go team! You've got this!
Our egos appreciate it. We need reinforcement.
I'm looking how messy my backdrop is all of a sudden. Anyway, sorry. Like, what's this?
Anyway. Well, you don't see the half-built sofa that's sitting behind me. It's half-built. I mean, it's built, but it's really, really old, and I'm like fixing it. It has these like old like canvas straps that are like 50 years old and like stiff and horrible. So I'm trying to pull those out and replace them with something else. Mm-hmm. And I'm about halfway through. So it's
with barbed wire.
Yes. Yes. Because the point of the couch is not for it to be comfortable. It's to maim your guests.
Couch of horror.
Some couches I've sat on feel like that when I visit people where I'm like, there's nothing about it that feels like I should be staying and having a cup of tea. Feels like I should be leaving.
Do you use this couch? Like, come on, seriously?
We have a couch that we got a long time ago, partially because the material is like this fake, like velvety velour type stuff. And it's like the one material the cats won't scratch. Which is the reason why we got furniture in this thing, because we knew that it would be protected from the cats. So we really don't like this couch. It's very uncomfortable. And we've always been wanting to look for something else. And, you know, you go to IKEA and they have those cool looking couches and you're like, oh, that looks cool. We should get that couch from IKEA. We've been to enough Airbnbs and we've actually sat on some of those couches in IKEA to know that they are the least comfortable things in the entire world. Yeah, no, that's what I was envisioning when you were describing a couch that actually was not the opposite of welcoming, unwelcoming.
It's an IKEA couch?
Yeah. A couch that makes you want to get up and say, okay, I'm going to be taken off now.
Good seeing you.
It's been great.
What is IKEA good at then? I mean, spatulas and couches, no. Veggie meatballs, yes.
Shelves. I mean, not like shelves, like, I mean, shelves that are really just large collections of cubes. We have many of those, and they're very good at them. They're also good at these things. I've got them back there. It's like a, well, it's a shelving system, but you put these little, like, plastic tubs in. You can get tubs of different sizes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Those are pretty good. We have lots of those.
My convertible desk is from IKEA and I like it, even though I had to like modify it because I kept exchanging it for one that didn't make a horrible noise when I cranked it up and down and had to third time's the charm. I'm sure the third one will be fine. No, forget it. I will just sand.
Does it make that sound in the store too though?
No, probably because it's gone up and down so many times in the store that the mechanism doesn't need to be sanded, I'm assuming.
Yeah, my standing desk.
Oh, it's like a squeal?
My standing desk is made from IKEA parts.
Yeah.
It's a coffee table with one of the square boxy shelf things on top of it.
Everything's cubes or squares. That's the beauty of IKEA.
Coffee tables. This weird coffee table that's like a bean shape, and then there's a smaller one that fits underneath it. Four legs and three legs. I don't know what it's, I mean, it's got a weird name, obviously. I like
weird,
it. Try coffee
weird
table.
Being Swedish.
Yeah.
Well, I know that that's a Trofast, and that the thing with the square cube thing with and various different orientations is a Kallax, because we have tons of those.
Oh, yeah.
Those are the two things I know from IKEA.
And the classic Billy bookcase.
And the Billy, yeah, obviously the Billy.
Which is easy to remember.
We have many Billies as well.
I have no idea what any of my IKEA stuff is named.
Makes me, I feel like, I'm like, oh, I feel like a trip to IKEA. Actually, going to IKEA, you don't really need to go, and the pressure
is gone. That's awful.
The pressure, yeah. You can just wander. Mm-hmm. Then you'll lose maybe 10 hours.
Yeah. Life. We actually, so we were, there is an article I was reading, and there is a video, I think that like Vox or BuzzFeed or somebody made, that was talking about two IKEA store designers about how they design the stores, because they literally make it the most maze-like as possible, so that you have to walk through all this crazy shit before you actually get to the exit. So the way to hack IKEA is to go there, like do your research beforehand, like know what you're going to get. And if you go to the website, you can get the actual, and you find your IKEA, you can get like the bin number and the shelf number and all this stuff. So you don't even have to go through the showroom. You can just go straight to the warehouse and get your thing, which is what we try to do.
That's a good.
Because yeah, you'll definitely kill a minimum of 2 hours.
And just because you're stuck behind other people, basically.
And they also, I mean, the reason why they have food there is because they know that if you're going to be there for a really long time, then you're going to get hungry. So they put food there so that you can go get the food there as well. So that like you spend more time there and like, oh wait, there is that one thing on. Yeah. And then
oh, I consider it a whole, like a theme park experience. I want to be dumped into the gift shop where there's like washcloths and like plants that are already infected with mites and like.
What? But their carts, like their cart situation is terrible.
Their cart situation is awesome. It's the only cart in the world where you can do a little spin around on it.
You cannot ride the cart in the parking lot.
Could.
I have, and it's dangerous. I about spilled it.
I do have to tell my kids not to ride those carts.
Yeah, well, nobody told me.
Nobody was parenting Gary in that parking lot as he careened out of control.
I mean, forget crashing in other cars. I was worried about protecting like my own self, you know, as it went sideways. This is bad.
I just picture the sound effects of like, it's not even a yelp, it's so much as like a yeah.
I mean, the best part is my children are watching me do this, right? So
well,
great example.
They're learning from your mistake. That's good.
I hope so.
I think it's a good lesson that parents aren't, you know, all knowing. Not that anyone's kids are, I don't know. I think kids are under that conception, like, for a while.
I don't know. I always felt like my dad knew everything and that I didn't know anything and I was really dumb. I think that you just assume that parents know everything until you're about 13, then you start to see the cracks or start to notice the cracks.
Yeah. And you're like, oh, they don't have their act together.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're just trying.
And like, then you have this like existential crisis about like life, the universe and everything.
I'm like, oh no, we're all just trying.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Everyone's really just human and everything is terrible.
And that's
I don't know. Let's find out. Like, that's my favorite answer to a question.
That's
because
good.
It means I can spend time on Wikipedia.
Yeah. What did we do? So. Or Encyclopedia Britannica in my day and age.
We had a mismatched encyclopedia. We had A through M from 1 year and then N through Z from the next year.
So there's probably a gap between, yeah, so there's a gap between the two, I'm assuming. Like, there's some things missing.
Who knows? Yeah.
No one knows what they were.
These are the gaps of knowledge that we bring to the table.
Yeah, I guess I did have an encyclopedia set.
And on that note, our topic today is...
My topics are all from that one missing clump.
They all start with the letter MN.
Yeah.
Pneumatic.
It's just like, get really theme-oriented all of a sudden.
That's really all that I can think of that starts with an MN.
I didn't want to point
Wait, that. Pneumatic?
Yeah, that's actually a PN, isn't it? I'm it wrong. Is.
Yeah. Like, well, mine went all the way up to P, and then we got Q to the end of the alphabet. I mean, we had that thing. I don't know when encyclopedias left my house. I think I moved to college. Encyclopedias were still there.
I just remember we didn't have one, but we'd have to go to the library to reference one. And then, like, if someone else had taken the one you needed, you had to, like, change your whole topic. And you're like, well, now I can't. Research that. Like, I have to choose a different letter entirely and figure
out. I can't
out.
Research octopi, and we have to research snakes.
I know, you're like, left with whatever's there.
Yeah, I had a
did
really
Did your library
bad...
have, like, a couple different encyclopedias?
The library did, yeah, yeah.
Because my
I don't mean to make it sound quite so stark. I did have a pretty great library.
Because my gym was always like, oh, you need to have like four sources. Well, the library was always good for two sources of encyclopedia, even though the article was probably identical, right? Or pretty close. So, but there were two sources. I looked at both of them and read them, and, you know, that was handled.
Well, let's face it. Your articles were already, it was always space. You always, like, it was the S encyclopedia. Let's just call it what it is.
I'm trying to think. Like, I feel like I had to do a lot of, like, papers about people. Here's a person that you need to write about.
We had a, in seventh grade, I had a research assignment where everybody had to pick something from the song, the Billy Joel song, We Didn't Start the Fire.
That's amazing. So bizarre.
You know, because, you know, I mean, if you know that song, he's basically just name dropping everything that happened in the 20th century. So pick one thing, that's your thing. So yeah. I did my paper on Woodstock.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go listen to that song and be like, "What would
I have chosen?" Yeah. I mean, yeah, maybe for the purpose of like figuring out what you would chose, what you would have chosen. But yeah, it's not worth listening to. And we listened to that song so many times. Oh my god,
that's a strong stance. Not worth listening to.
Not worth listening to.
Unless you need to write a research paper about something that happened.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, your grade 7 teacher was like their favorite song.
Yes.
On loop.
Yes. Yes. She was really cute. She's an older woman, but she had this beehive haircut that looked like one of the missing members of the B-52s.
That's amazing.
It was awesome. Yeah.
Wow.
My kindergarten teacher had a huge beehive, and I just remember being so fascinated by it as a little kid. And then also growing up and like revisiting and seeing her like in realizing her beehive like wasn't as large as I remembered it being, and like then being like, maybe it's just deflating over the years, and like kind of just having this like sad moment of like, oh, or like maybe I'm getting taller. since I'm taller, my perspective has changed, and so the beehive is not as like magnificent as when I was in kindergarten.
That's awesome. So today's topic?
Oh.
So this is a show where we have a topic, and Allison, I'll give you some time. This is a show where we have a topic that Allison gives to us, and Gary and I have not heard this topic and probably don't know anything about it, but we are still trying to talk about the subject as if
they
we know something.
Obligated to talk about this
topic. Obligated, yes.
Something. You might know.
It's our contract with you, the listener.
Contract. Obliged contract. The topic this week is vernation.
Can you use it? Can you spell it?
The topic this week is vernation. V-E-R-N-A-T-I-O-N.
Drat. That's how I thought it was spelled, so that doesn't help.
Vernation.
I don't know.
I should really start looking up like the root of it and go real spelling bee with it.
So Verna, as we all know, was the old lady that would walk to and from the grocery store with that little cart and the umbrella sticking out in the back. So vernation would be the act of like transporting your groceries to and from or from the grocery store or home by foot.
Vernation, V-E-R-N-A-T-I-O-N.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, vernation. Vernation is a lesser known social media platform for developers who particularly adhere to SEMVer semantic versioning. So it's vernation. Typically spelled capital V-E-R, capital N-A-T-I-O-N.
You gotta get that camel case in there.
Yes. Vernation. And the emphasis is on the ver.
Vernation.
I don't think nation is important.
I like the
president of the United States would like to disagree with that because he's a nationalist.
God,
he thinks nation is most important.
Dear listeners, you can't see my face, but know that it's not a pleasant one. I wonder
are we part of the liberal media? Can we be part of the liberal media?
I think
I'm definitely a liberal elite.
I think as self-instigated media, we can say we are whatever we want to be.
Yeah, okay. Yes.
So fake news, right?
Yeah.
Obviously.
We're the originals.
We don't try to be real.
I wonder if Gary's version of Verna is a developer who would be part of Vernation. If she's tech savvy enough.
Not the first one.
No.
The second one with the bug fix, now she would be.
Yeah.
So there's a bug fix.
2.5.3.
Are you SEMVer? When you write stuff personally, do you version it, I guess, first off? Or is it just master and then whatever branch I merge into master? Secondly, is it SEMVer or do you start out like I do where this is version 0.1, and then eventually I'm like, oh, well, it needs a bug fix. So now it's 0.1.1, and now it's SEMVer. So the first version is never SEMVer, and the next version starts SEMVer. That's how I roll.
That's how I roll, too, generally. Yeah. And part of that
I don't do version control. No.
Part of that is just because, like, the boilerplate that I use when I write new things has 0.1 as the default first version. So that's just, like, it's really, like, it's not version 1. It's not version 0.0.1.
So what's your personal threshold for version 1? Is there, like, a certain amount, like, are there MVP features that you say, well, now it's version 1? Or you say yes. Version one is like, oh, it's stable enough.
No, I usually shoot.
I have a funny line.
I usually shoot for something that I think would be usable for somebody who's not me without an abundance of difficulty or complexity.
I'm very close to that on version one. For me, it's version one when I decide that I'm willing to live with this thing and actually do updates to it. Otherwise, it could be like 0.93.1. I mean, version one means like, okay, this is a thing that I will do things with in the future. Until it's version one, I can throw it away mentally.
Oh, that's interesting. Mm,
yeah. Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, version one, I'm like, well, it wasn't version one code, so. Oh, well.
And then if someone, like, if you put it out there and someone approaches you, if it's at that point, then you're like, it's worth it enough for you to, like, fix the bug or explore whatever's going wrong or.
Yeah, see, I got really overambitious at one point in time in wanting to open source all the things. And I mean, not that all my things aren't open source, but like I put stuff up on the WordPress plugin repository that were less than version one because I was trying to put stuff out there. And there are a lot of things that I have out there that really don't need to be there that are like proof of concept or like prototypes or like not really things that other people need or should be using particularly that were sort of my own personal experiment. The one thing that like off the top of my head, like I made a plugin for your collectible card game collections. To put all the different cards from different things. And it was like, really just like, this would be a cool idea. I could put all my Magic cards in here. People could put their Pokemon cards in there. You have to write all the stuff up, but then people started using it and they're like, well, I want to use this for like selling stuff on a store. I'm like, dude, it literally has no front end, like none. I didn't write it. You could do whatever you want with it. It's open source, but there is nothing you can do with it.
Yeah. And people, yeah, that's the other thing is that people taking open source and wanting to run with it, but it's, you're like, oh, but I'm done over here.
And that's, I think that's a hard thing to realize, but I think it's super important. Like I've done as much as I'm interested in doing this. Like there's no, open sourcing doesn't mean that you're married to it, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, open sourcing means that here's some stuff I wrote that someone might find useful and, you know, if you can do it.
Yeah, that's why I put everything up on GitHub now, and I haven't moved much of that stuff, if any of it, over to the plugin repository, because like everything is sort of like in a constant sort of state of, well, I'm still working on this, and I'm still poking at it, and I'm not quite satisfied with it yet. And it's not at a point, I mean, even if it's version one or version two, it's still not at a point where like I think other people would care about it. And if they do care about it, they can go to GitHub.
So my first plugin, .org repo. I decided after the first WordCamp US in 2015, I decided like, well, like, this is probably where I'm going to go with my career, you know, development. Like I could probably figure out a way to get a job in WordPress. So then I like forced myself every month to get a new plugin in the plugin repo until I got a job in WordPress. Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, that was dumb. But it was also nice. I mean, it was dumb, but it was a resume builder, right? And I mean, some of those plugins now I'm like, oh, please never. Like I thought the other day about one of them, like I should email them and ask them to remove this one, right?
I have one. There used to be a service called protocol.by. And the idea was that it was a service that you went in and you put in like, what are the best means of communication to get in touch with you? Because not everybody, like, email is not necessarily the best thing. Like, maybe it's Slack, maybe it's Twitter, maybe it's direct message, maybe it's text, whatever it is. And you put your different means, like, methods of communication into this thing and you rank them so that people can see, I can get in touch with you this way first, and that's most responsive, and this way, and this, you know, like, whatever.
AOL Instant Messenger.
and so because it was sort of a third-party service and there was a JavaScript, I have a lot of plugins I do still have a lot of plugins where basically just a WordPress implementation of some JavaScript thing out there. So you don't have to like, you know, go out and embed this code in your theme. You just install the plugin, turn it on. And so like I have this plugin for protocol.by, which is just literally just hitting this thing, and that service doesn't exist anymore. So of all the many things I've built that are completely useless now, that is probably the most useless, because the thing doesn't, the thing that it's pointing to doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah. There for the like posterity of archives of like, remember when we had to tell people how we wanted to be reached? Now we just don't want to be reached.
Yeah, really. Now just don't talk to me.
Do you think there's a negative to leaving code like that out there? Like, does that code... So, like, I have some really bad plugins. Like, would it be better to not have them associated with me?
I mean...
Or does like, no one care? I think no one cares.
I think no one cares.
Yeah. No one's going to, like, look at... Yeah. You apply for a job and you say, give me some code samples. Like, yeah, don't look at these ones.
I think if people care that much, then there's larger issues happening in the back sphere of people digging through your archives.
I mean, I guess there's a situation like if you were trying to get an understanding of a developer, you know, if you were hiring, I could see like looking at super old code to just confirm that there has been like growth, right?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. But I mean, in terms of like, applying for a job or something, they're not going to be digging through your old stuff. They're going to be looking at the things that are most frequently, if they go to their GitHub profile, it's going to be the things that you've featured or the things that you've most recently committed to. And that's the thing they're going to be looking at. They don't care about your old stuff.
Because ideally they want to see where you're shining. If they want to see like where you're bad at things, I don't know. I just feel like it's a weird focus for an employer to want to take, being like, we really want to see where they can't polish the turd. Like,
so vernation is a type of
mold
flower.
Moldy flower.
Not a moldy flower. It is a flower that is somewhat related to the carnation.
Yeah. It's an inside out carnation.
Well, I don't even know what that would be.
What do I?
Are they scented, or is it a non-scented floral mold?
Not a mold. It's a flower. It does not have a scent.
Does it come in a range of colors?
No, that's the problem. That's the thing with vernations. They're only green or purple.
Oh.
Well, that's a range. That's a small range, but it's a range.
It's two. Okay, what makes a range a range? Let's go down that rabbit hole.
More than two.
More than two.
At least two.
You roboted.
Oh, well, that's good, because that's something stupid anyway.
At least two.
No, I said, I don't know what I don't know what I said. Yeah, it was probably two. I was thinking about vernation as a mold. It's a unique type of mold that doesn't necessarily prefer a damp environment. Drier is better.
A dry
mold. Arid mold.
I like the idea of a mold that's really going against the grain of other molds.
It's black, obviously.
What types of climates does the vernation
grows its hair like over one eye? You don't understand my music, Mom.
What types of climate does the vernation mold appreciate?
Arid.
Arid.
Like desert climates.
So it just grows on the desert?
Yeah. Why not? Sure. I can get behind that.
We've
Arid
reached our
dumb desert mold.
We've reached our 10-minute timer, so I guess that means we need to know what vernation actually is.
Vernation is the formation of new leaves or like plant fronds. So like the arrangement of leaves in a bud. So like, circular vernation is like when a fern like has a new little, I'm circling with my finger, like that's useful for audio at all. But yeah, new growth. So there's circinate, there's convolute, there's a whole bunch of different types of vernation. And it comes from vernal, meaning spring.
That does make sense.
And you were kind of edging onto it at the end there with your various plant and botany knowledge.
Ridiculous mold.
You mean our fake plant and botany knowledge.
Yeah, vernation. Usually in temperate regions.
There you have it. Oh, well, of course.
You know. I don't know if we have any user questions, or do we need to go to the Allison batch?
We don't have any user questions. So listeners, you can submit your questions by going to the website, binaryjazz.us. Scroll down to the bottom. There's a form there. You could click on contact. And that's send us internet? A question. Yes, it's on the internet. Uh-huh. Binaryjazz.us. It's not just me saying us. It's binaryjazz.us.
Do you need to log on?
No, you just need to send us a question. Or you could log into Twitter, which is a thing that you could log into, and you can send us a question that way at binaryjazz.
Or just converse with us in semi-real time.
Or you could join our Slack channel and ask us questions there.
We do Slack.
Which is also linked on our website. So we don't have listener questions. So do you have questions prepared, or should we go to the archive?
Let's go to the archive, because I feel like my question...
Let's go to the map.
Well, I do have another quiz inkling, but it's not fully formed yet. So I'd rather
We should let it bake.
Yeah,
I want to let it bake in the oven. Yeah.
Under the...
There's no hints there. It has nothing to do with... baked goods.
What's the best birthday cake you ever ate?
What a segue.
Wow.
I thought this would be a particularly good one for Gary.
I don't know that I have one. I'll fill in while Gary's pondering. I don't know that I have a specific favorite birthday cake. I've never considered that. I have a favorite type of cake, or had a favorite type of cake, which is generally like a white cake with raspberry filling.
Ooh, that's nice. Any particular like frosting or icing preferences, or
the kind that's more like powdered sugar based and less like crazy horrible frosting, like the thick fluffy kind that's just that grosses me out. And actually for our wedding, the cake that we had our caterers make, what had like lemon, it was a lemon cake with raspberry filling and like a cream sort of frosting, which was awesome. Of course I can't eat it now because it's all dairy and gluten, but you know.
Yeah.
So I was like 23 or 24, and Rhonda made me a cookie cake.
Ooh.
Which, I love cookies, so it was a really thoughtful cake. And then I also finally recall a carrot cake we did for my grandmother
A
few years ago, right, not long before she died, maybe 1 or 2 years before she died. That's good.
Now, when you say cookie cake, do you mean a cake with crumbled up cookies inside, or do you mean like cookie, like layers?
When it's like single layer cookie.
Yeah.
Like in a large
gigantic cookie. Okay.
Yeah, with writing on it. Yeah, gigantic cookie. Yeah.
Is it like a chocolate chip cookie?
Oh, yep.
Now, chocolate chip cookies, nuts or no nuts? What are you, like a chunky?
Oh, man. I stand on cookies the way I do on coffee. Like any way you want to give it to me.
Okay.
I tend to be the same. In fact, my favorite cookie it has like peanuts and chocolate chips in it, and is like almond flour based, I believe.
There's a
I could talk about cookies for a long time. Like oatmeal chocolate chip cookies. Oatmeal raisin are great too. I know oatmeal raisin gets a bad rap, but that's still a solid cookie, regardless of
what you say. Classic.
Yeah.
There's a vegan gluten-free bakery in Toronto, and they have amazing everything, not shockingly. But they have a cookie, and they even have, it's like the chunkiest cookie ever. It has all the things, and it even has like gluten-free pretzels in it, like with chocolate, with like, oh, just it's amazing. It's worth every penny. It's a lot of pennies.
I think we did dessert. Did we do dessert? I think all our dessert, maybe not. I'm trying to recall at work camp, Jack's last year, if all our desserts were vegan, gluten-free, or if, like half, or it was a big chunk of our budget, though. It was almost as much as we spent on lunch. But so good.
So good. The stuff that keeps people nourished for the weekend or for the day. It's so good.
Yeah. Yeah. May as well spend money on the food.
Mm-hmm. I'd rather have a really amazing meal than a t-shirt. I'll say it.
Yeah, well, and
we had the t-shirt conversation not too long ago as organizers. And I think we settled in like, t-shirts everybody does. But
yeah, when I went to WordCamp Denver, I was surprised that they did not do t-shirts. They gave out Nalgene bottles and sweatbands.
Yeah. Sweatbands
or sweatpants?
Sweatbands.
I thought you said sweatpants.
I'm like, not sweatpants. Sweatbands.
I was like, that's like a comfy, weird option.
and so I was like,
comfy, underhanded.
I was like, oh, you don't do t-shirts? She's like, no, because sizing.
And always, yeah, sizing.
She's like, do you have a large Nalgene bottle?
And now you have a plastic bottle.
Yeah, and we don't typically use plastic bottles because of plastic. So it's a storage container that my daughter uses now.
Yeah.
So do you avoid plastic because you, do you avoid plastic because you're worried about the production side of plastic, or you're worried about the leaching of plastic into the water?
The health implications in consuming food from an object that may contain chemicals that would then go into my body and potentially poison me.
So aren't Nalgene... like supposed to be
they're BPA free, but that doesn't mean that they're not everything free. I mean, plastic has chemicals regardless, and just because there hasn't been a study on the other effects of other chemicals that are used in the composition of a plastic water bottle doesn't mean that there's stuff isn't there, and you could just avoid all of that by just using metal water bottles or glass. We did glass water bottles for a while, but they're really heavy and they don't retain. Like the metal ones are good because they keep things cool.
I have some cold coffee.
I like the idea of sweatbands. I find that novel.
Yeah, it was. And the kids also have those.
Similar to like a WordCamp scrunchie. Like I'm like, I would enjoy that to some extent.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you two less so. Less scrunchy people.
Yeah, that's been a while. It's been a little bit long. Maybe I'll let it grow out for now.
Yeah, I don't know that I would make much use of a scrunchie.
A nice bracelet?
Possibly.
Slap bracelets.
Thank you for listening to Binary Jazz. If you like this episode, you can subscribe to us on iTunes or Google Play. You can visit us online at binaryjazz.us or follow us on Twitter at @binaryjazz. Don't forget that you can ask us a question through the form on the website or on Twitter, and we'll read it aloud on the next episode of Binary Jazz.